For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Well, you know what? We have Las Vegas campus joining us live today. And so, you know what I'm going to do? Vegas, hold on. And we also always want to, don't forget Cal State, CSUB live every week. And Springville and the rest of them. But right now, I want us, when I count three, I want California to say hi to Las Vegas, okay? They want to hear you. One, two, three. Okay, Las Vegas, it's your chance. Las Vegas, when I count to three, we want to hear you all the way here in California, okay? One, two, three. I heard them. Yes, well, welcome Vegas, CSUB. And we have a big announcement to make today. And are you ready for this? As of tomorrow, we own a third campus in Bakersfield. So what we need is we need 50 people to go help us start that church over in the Northwest. The church is located on Coffee Road, just north of Olive. It's now called Harvest Christian Fellowship, but you'll have VBF signs up on there in about a week or two. So VBF has made its way to the Northwest. Now we have Cal State, we have Northwest, and we have East. And what I do is just pray a prayer right now. Father God, every person that you want to help start that church, we need 50 people, lay it upon their heart right now that they're part of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Then we're going to have a meeting in 2 weeks from today at 5 o'clock at the Northwest campus to get it going. So we'll have live Wednesday night Bible studies verse by verse over there. We'll have vacation Bible school over there. Everything that happens here will happen over there. So we're pretty excited. Today, I'm going to talk to you about something. Before I do, someone sent me this, and I can't help put it up. You got to put this up right now. This is when your boss asks for proof you're in the hospital. Is that too good or what? Okay, thank you. He's got his earbuds in his nose, and he's got his cell phone charger on his hand. As I get older, there are three things I can't remember. Number one is faces. Number two is names. And number three, I can't remember. One old guy was preaching one day and he says, I've spent some of the happiest moments of my life in the arms of another woman, another man's wife. This young guy's listening. The old guy says again, I spent some of the happiest moments of my life in the arms of another man's wife. And that woman is my mother. The young guy, he was taking notes one page, he kind of got part of it. So he's preaching later on, it just came off the top of his head. He said, I spent the happiest moments of my life in the arms of another man's wife. And he says it again for really to get the point across. I said, I spent the happiest moments in my life in the arms of another man's wife. And then but the life of me, I can't remember who she was. He couldn't remember the end of it. So much for that. Here's what we're talking about today. God has a word for us. And it's very simple. Those jokes have to do with forgetting by default. Sometimes we need to forget on purpose. And today we're going to go back to our Philippians study, and here's the thing we want to talk about, forgetting our past. When we say that word forgetting, we're going to use it in Philippians in a moment. And the word doesn't mean that you can just pretend like it never happened. The word means I refuse to keep bringing it into mind. Now, gang, you can't live with regrets. You can't live with them. Yesterday's gone. It's water under the bridge. What has happened has happened. See, if you have a wound and you keep picking at it, it will never heal. And if you keep thinking about the past, what you did wrong, what happened wrong, if you keep doing that, it'll never heal and you'll never become what God wants you to become. Now, let's also talk about good things. Now, the bad things, let me say one last thing about them. We're to forget about them. We're to take our wounds and turn our wounds into scars and turn our scars into stars and use them for God's glory. I have a lot of scars I could show you in my body. Surgery where I hurt a leg playing ball. A scar on my arm when I was swamping grapes out in Arvin. A scar on my toe where I was motorcycle riding and almost ripped my toe off. But I can push on those scars and they don't hurt. When you push on a wound, it hurts. Today, if we mention somebody's name, some of you would get all worked up, and it's an ex-spouse that you were married to, and you know, it's still a wound. There's certain topics we can bring up. And so you want to turn your wounds into scars, your scars into stars, and use those stars for the glory of Jesus. But we also want to forget all of the great successes we had in our past life. Now, forget them again. Let's don't always live off of them is what I mean. The past is the past. Some of you have accomplished great achievements in this building and other campuses. Some of you have got your doctorate degrees and you become great things in life. And we're really proud of you. Some of you turn into millionaires and we're really proud of you and we're glad you're in our church. But yesterday and today are different. Today is today. That was yesterday. Remember the past, but don't stay there. I'm going to share something with you that I read a while back and I wrote it down. Success is not determined by what we've done, but rather by what we are compared to what we could have been. Let me rephrase that another way. Success is not measured by what we've done, but rather by what we've done compared to what we could have done. I'll read that one more time. Success is not measured by what we've done, but rather by what we've done compared to what we could have done. Have you ever noticed in your car that you have a huge windshield and you got a little bitty rearview mirror? Why is that so? It's more important to see where you're going than where you've been. Now, Rascal Flatts has a song out called I'm Moving On. Let me read you the lyrics of the first verse. I dealt with my ghost and faced all my demons, finally content with a past I regret. I found that you find strength in your moments of weakness. For once I'm at peace with myself. For once I'm at peace with myself. I've been burdened with blame, trapped in the past for too long. And now I'm moving on. I'm moving on. Gang, you can't let the past sabotage your future. In sports, track runners are told, don't ever look around to try to see where that person is that you're racing against because you'll lose the race. Baseball, when the runners get a hit and they run the bases, they have base coaches that are in front of them because they're not supposed to look over their shoulder. If they look behind them, they will probably get thrown out. Race car drivers, they can't look around and see where that next car is at, the car behind them or by the side of them. They have headphones on and somebody in their pit is telling them, they're saying, hey, you know, you got a guy to the right, you got a guy behind you. We're not to look back. Now, because this study is going through the first four chapters in Philippians and we're in chapter 3 today, let's do a quick Bible study and we'll come back and chat and be out of here on time. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Apostle Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard for you. This means in the Greek, get happy about the Lord. Think about him and get happy about him. This is a mindset more than it is an emotion. For example, what do I do to get happy about the Lord? First of all, I remember that he's coming back to take me to heaven. Wow. Someone sent me a video on a possible EMP attack in the United States. And believe me, the possibility, according to the pros, is real. That's electromagnetic pulse attack. Korea has the capability, according to some, to do this. That means they could shoot a missile up and explode it, and our whole power grid would be gone, immediately gone, which would mean that 90% of us, if not 100% of us, would all die within a matter of months. We'd starve to death, no water, nothing. And they sent it to me, and I started looking into it. And when you start looking at those things, see how the world's going, it gets kind of scary. But you know what? I rejoice in the Lord. I make myself happy in Jesus because he's overcome the world, and he's going to take me home one day. And he says it's not his will that we should have to go through that stuff. And so I'm telling you, get happy in Jesus. What makes me happy in Jesus? That my loved ones who have died before me are with him right now waiting my arrival. That makes me happy in Jesus. What makes me happy in Jesus? That our prayers to him changes things. Let me stop and say something so simple. What are you most unhappy with in life right now? What are you most unhappy with in life right now? What are you the most anxious about? What is worrying you and bothering you the most? And why don't you pray it changed? Amen. Can I say that again? Why don't you pray it changed? You say, what? Why don't you pray it changed? If God can't change the circumstance, he'll change you to where you can accept it and deal with it. I'm telling you, cry out to God. You know why we're not getting anything from God? Because we're not crying out to God. The Bible has verse after verse, when you cry out to God, he hears you and he answers your prayers. Not whining to God. Whining to God doesn't do anything. How many of you moms know that certain cry of your child when they really need you? How many of you really know that? And you go, wow, that cry is different than the rest of the cries. Look at Psalms 5, 1 through 3. He says, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King, my God, for you do I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you're going to hear my voice. I will order my prayer, and then I will eagerly watch. That's the kind of crying out you need to do. Look at verse 2 and 3 in Philippians. Paul writes to it. He says, beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. He says there's right on religious people and there's right on believers. And here's the difference. Your right on believers are people who put no glory in the flesh at all, and they glory in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you something? I gave up on the flesh a long time ago. I don't even try to fix my flesh anymore. You say, what? I don't even try to fix it. When I feel I'm weak, I just go to God and I let him do what I can't do. I go to him and say, God, it is you that in me that is the strength. I've learned to pray instead of fight the flesh. And it says that those that are real believers, they glory in Christ Jesus. They're dependent upon what God can do that they can't do. Now in verse 4 through 6, giving you a summary of these verses, he goes on and says, you know, we put no glory in the flesh at all. He said, a lot of you have backgrounds that you boast on. He said, if I put glory in the flesh, I could really put glory in the flesh. He said, I could trump you all in my fleshly accomplishments. And then he goes on and launches into this bragging for 2 verses. He doesn't like to do it, but he does it. And he's, here's some of the great things I've accomplished, but they're all dung. They're all rubbish compared to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't live off of yesterday's accolades forever. Appreciate what you've done. Appreciate what you've accomplished and let it go. Look at verse 7 and 8. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things. And I count all of them rubbish so that I may gain Christ. I talked to you about 6 weeks ago about this. I said this was a heavy-duty statement. This statement says here, there is nothing more important in life than those things that help me know God better. Nothing more important than those things. Which would mean that this church should be one of the most important things to you. You should just put this church as a high priority in your life, because this is where you're hearing God at, a lot of you. Your small groups, the same thing, on and on and on. Anything that happens in your life, if it doesn't have some kind of kingdom asset to it or some kind of kingdom benefit, then it's not worth everything that it's cracked up to be worth. Look at verse 9 through 14. And may I be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That I may know him, that's my goal, that I might know him. And that word is gnosko, it means experientially sometimes, to know him really well, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship that comes through sufferings. See, the world tells us we're supposed to not having to do with sufferings. We should do everything in our power we can do to shun them. But the Bible says there's fellowship in those sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it. See, here's a real man of God. He's mature enough to know that he's not mature. He's perfect enough to know that he's not perfect. Not that I've already obtained it. I'm a way off, he says, or I've already become perfect. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Now he says, I have a goal. That word goal in the Greek is skopos, and it's where we get telescope. He says, I have a goal. He says, I have one thing only that I'm really, really focused on. Look at Psalms 27 and 4. It says, one thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek with all of my heart, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's the one thing. What did Jesus tell the young rich ruler who came to him? He said, you lack one thing only. What did he tell Martha? He says, Martha, only one thing's important. And Paul says right here, he says, my goal in life is only one thing. It's not all these titles. It's not all these accomplishments. It's one thing. And that is to lay hold of what Christ Jesus laid hold of me for. He's that one thing in life, my priority. I've telescoped, scopos, telescope. I look through. I must lay hold of God's will for my life. And I must carry that out till the day I die. That's the one thing. It makes everything else dim. It makes everything else disappear. Now, let's talk. Let's get three lessons out of these verses today. And here's the first lesson I want you to see. Give yourself permission to move on. Don't live in the past. Give yourself permission to move on. I've noticed through the years what I believe to be two things that keeps people who have went through hard times from moving on. And especially when it comes to deaths, we've had so many deaths in our church this year. And I've noticed this, I picked up on it. I've never read this to be true. It's just something that I have come up with. But I've seen that a lot of people who lose loved ones, especially children or parents that were very close to them or whatever, it almost seems like they're afraid of moving on, as if in doing so, they will disappoint that loved one that have died. If I get too happy, start enjoying life again, I'm afraid they will think that I don't love them. They will think I'm not hurting anymore, when in fact, they're in heaven. They don't see you anymore. You're off the radar. But somehow, we almost feel this guilt, this false guilt, that if we start enjoying life and we get back into life and start living our life again, that means we didn't love them. We're getting over it too easy. And again, they're in heaven. And when we can't let go of the past and we can't move on, what we're doing is we're missing all these opportunities that are before us every week. We will pass by people every day that needs what we have to give, but we won't give it because our heart's closed and we're not open. Now, hear me when I say this, and I'll say more about it in a moment. When you lose a loved one, there's definitely a time to set aside to grieve. Whether that's 3 months, 6 months. I believe personally in my own life that if I lose someone real close to me, I must set a definite time for grieving. And say, I'm going to choose 3 months. I'm going to choose 2 months. I'm going to choose 6 months. I'm going to do that. And at the end of that time, I have to get up and I have to start moving on again. Story of David in 2 Samuel chapter 12. David's child that Bathsheba gave him is dying. And David is pleading with God, let my child live, let my child live. For 7 days, he lays in the dirt on his face. He doesn't eat anything. He drinks very little. And he prays and he pleads with God, don't let my baby die, don't let my baby die, don't let my baby die. Can I interject something for you Bible students here? David might have felt a connection to this child like he had never felt to any other child he had. He might have had a bonding here that went deeper than we see. The only time in Scripture I've seen a man that I know of crying for a baby like David. And there might have been something that we don't see here. See, this child was born out of wedlock, born out of his affair with Bathsheba. But I want you to see something David says about himself in Psalms 51:5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Could it be that David was born in an illicit situation? Could it be that David, if you take this verse, there's a couple ways you can take it, and genealogies might prove this to be wrong, but was it at least a suspicion of his that he was born maybe out of wedlock? And as a result, he had such a burden for this child, knowing that this child is a little me. See, there's something about us that when we see someone like ourselves, we cry out more for them, and we have more of a burden for them because we can relate to them, and maybe that's the reason why. When Samuel goes to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem, because God says, I want you to go anoint a new king for me. Maybe that's why all the boys were in the house but David. He was out in the pasture like he was nobody. You know the story. Don't you have another boy somewhere? Yeah, I do. There's one out there. There's a kid out there. And so we don't know that. But all I'm saying is that even if it wasn't true and genealogy could prove it wasn't true, maybe that was a suspicion in his mind. At any rate, David felt very bad for this child. And David ended up going through the worst thing that a human being can go through. There's nothing worse than losing a child. I'm convinced there's nothing on this earth that can touch the pain of losing a child. Now, David, he's at a crossroads in his life right now. He's on a downward trajectory. I mean, things are going wrong, and he's trying to come against a curse in his life. He's all this stuff, and I want you to see what happens. He's on his face for 7 days while this baby is dying, and he's pleading with God, heal my kid. How many of you can relate? You say, God, I was there. I was crying out. I was praying, and God, you didn't hear me. That's what all those psalms come out of, these kind of incidents. And David was crying out. He knew the grace of God, but in this situation, he didn't get to experience it. But look what happens. Look at verse 19 through 23. But when David saw that his servants were whispering, they were whispering, and David was on his face, but he picked it up. David perceived that the child was dead. So David said to his servants, is he gone? Is he gone? Answer me, is he gone? They said, he's dead. He's dead. So David rose from the ground. Now look, he didn't follow the next logical step. They didn't expect this. Why? Because David had heard teachings like I'm teaching you today. It says he rose from the ground. He said, you know what? Why lay here anymore? See, David had a right perspective of the kingdom, and he washed himself, and that means, you know, getting all your sin out. He anointed himself. He reminded himself of God's purpose for his life. Remember the telescope? He knew. And then he changed his clothes, took his mourning clothes off, put his kingly clothes on, and he came into the house of the Lord, and he worshiped. Now, this is very important. He worshiped. He's flushing. Say with me, he's flushing. I'll tell you more in a second. Then he came to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servant said to him, what is this thing that you've done? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but when the child died, you rose and ate food. He said, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who knows? People ask me all the time, Pastor Ron, you know God doesn't heal everybody. Why do you always ask for miracles? Because who knows? I'm going to ask because who knows when God's going to do a miracle? Who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me that the child may live. But here's the key. But now he has died. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? No, I will go to him, but he will not return to me. What gave David this power? He knew that he knew that he knew that he knew that heaven was real. He knew that. Now, David gave himself permission to move on. Had he not, he never would have had Solomon. Someone blessed me with a story back here last week. See our baby? We lost a baby, Pastor Ron. We were so grieved, and we prayed and prayed and prayed. And this baby was born on the very exact birth date of our other baby 1 year later. God replaced it. Another reason we don't move on sometimes is we feel that we must punish ourselves for our past. Even though God has forgiven us, we won't forgive ourselves. Back to David. Man, could he have punished himself? This baby died because of his stupid thing. He knows they're connected. See, David, this has to be hard for David, especially. David was a giant killer. You give David an enemy, put him in front of him, and David will beat the crap out of him. Crapola. It's Greek. I almost forgot the Greek. David, you put a problem in front of him, he could solve it. David was a very resourceful man. There wasn't anything that he couldn't beat down. But now the enemy's in his head. The enemy's him. He has to kill this thing in his head. He had to be thinking for 7 days, had I only not went into Bathsheba, had I only went to war when the guys went to war, had I only done, you idiot, what did you do, you idiot, you idiot. He had to kill it in his head because that's where the torture is taking place, is in the head. And he has to be able to kill it. See, someone has said, we won't ever be defeated by what others say about us. We'll only be defeated by what we say about ourselves. I'm a loser. I did it. I blew it. I'm no good anymore. Listen to me, gang. No one can live that way. There's a lot of people here today, an earshot of my voice. You've done stupid things. Maybe you've lost a family. You committed adultery. Nobody knows about it. Maybe, I don't know, man. Maybe you committed murder. I don't. You've done stupid things. And because of those stupid things, innocent people were hurt. Okay. Take it to God, ask Him to redeem it, and get over it. Because let me give you a piece of advice. You're not through doing stupid things. Can I say it again? Can I say it again? Get over it, because you're not through doing stupid things. You're going to do many more stupid things. Because you're human. Join the human race. Humans make mistakes. They make big mistakes. They make little mistakes. But humans make mistakes. I read about a dad this week. He's a football coach, and one day, Saturday, he took off to teach his kid to be a place kicker. He said, my kid's going to be a Las Vegas Raider one day. He's going to be a place kicker. So he took his six-year-old son out. He put the ball down the ground. He got down on his hands and knees, and he said, now when I nod my head, kick it. He did. He lost two teeth. See, some people, they give up in life when they do stupid things. They give up. Or they beat themselves up for the rest of their life. How could I have been so stupid? How could I have been so dumb? Don't give up because you did something dumb. You can't move forward looking back. You're not God. You can't see the future. Give yourself permission to move on. Don't stop living. Heard about an older lady the other day that she was paranoid of driving on the freeway, but she had to go out one day, and she's paranoid. And sure enough, she gets on an on-ramp on the freeway, and there's a traffic jam, and she's sitting there going, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. I can't do this, I can't do this. And so she sat there, and pretty soon the traffic jam kind of, you know, it let up, and you can move again. But she was just petrified sitting there, and she wouldn't move. She wouldn't move. And finally, the guy behind her started honking and said, lady, the sign said, yield, not give up. Again, it's such a shame to live in the past when Jesus died for the past. He died to cover those sins. And you know what? Don't let anybody condemn you over a sin that you've repented of and confessed before God. Don't let them. You have put that under the blood of Jesus. When I baptize people in the tank, I say, I'm going to kill you today and I'm going to bring you back to life. You came to church to be killed. But I said, listen to me, anything you've said, done, or thought before this day, don't let anybody ever hang it over your head again, because we're killing you and bringing you back to life today. When we live in the past and we don't free ourselves up of that, we can't live in the future and in the now. Our little kids need for us to tell them, hey, you look spiffy today, man. Our little girl needs a kiss to say, you're beautiful. People need hugs. They need pats on the back. But when we're still grieving over our past, they're not going to get them. Secondly, and I got about 8 more minutes, so hold on. Redeem your past mistakes. Learn from them, then forget about them. See, let me tell you something. Anything that happens to us in life that enlarges our heart, that's not bad in the long run. The heart. Life with God's about the heart. My stinking heart just doesn't let me get by with a lot. And as you grow in Christ, you want to concentrate on the heart. See, I don't have an on and off switch. At least if I do, I haven't found it with my heart. I have a pastor's heart, which is a double whammy. My wife always tells me, says, man, your heart really hurts over this stuff, doesn't it? See, I couldn't make a good outlaw. I'd say, stick them up or I'll blow your brains out. Or I probably really wouldn't, but you know what? Am I scaring you? I don't like scare people. You know, forget the whole thing. I'm leaving. I couldn't be a salesman. I'd make a horrible car salesman. You want to buy that car? Look at your kid's shoes. Don't they need new shoes? There's a car cheaper down the road. It's a lot cheaper, man. You can't afford this, you know. I get mad at someone. It happens all the time. I'll be angry. I'll tell them I'm going down today. I'm going to read them the write out. I'm going to tell them da-da-da. And I'll go in. They'll tell me a sad story. And I'm sitting there crying going, what'd you want to say to me, Ron? Nothing. See, again, let's go back to Samuel 16. David. First of all, let's go back to Samuel. God tells Samuel, says, you know what? I'm going to change kings in Israel. Saul's no longer my anointed one. And he says, Samuel, when are you going to get over grieving over something that I'm taking out of your life? Can I say that again? How long are you going to keep grieving, Samuel, about something I'm taking out of your life? Stop grieving over it. Move on. Write another chapter. And he said, I want you to go to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem. And he said, there, you're going to anoint the next king of Israel. So Samuel goes, all the boys are in the house except David, he's out in the back 40. And so Samuel starts praying his boys before, or Jesse starts praying all his boys before Samuel, a prophet. And the first one, Eliab, comes before Samuel. And this first boy, they said, the Bible said he was very muscular, had good stature, was a good looking kid. Man, he had the charisma, he had it all going. And Samuel says, surely this is the next king of Israel. And God says, no, no, no. He said, you're looking at outward appearance, whereas God, I look at the heart. Amen. The other boys were all paraded before him, and God says, no, they don't have the right heart. They don't have the right heart. They don't have the right heart. They brought David in, and God says to Samuel, that's the boy with the right heart right there. God looks at the heart. Say with me, God looks at the heart. There's a reason God blesses some people and others he doesn't. And it has nothing to do with their deeds. It has to do with their heart. Amen. You can't see the hearts. You can see the deeds, but you can't see the hearts. See, the Bible says, the pure in heart will see God. See him in an ongoing way. That word pure there is katharos in the Greek. It's where we get catheter. What does a catheter do? A catheter flushes stuff out. A catheter flushes the bad stuff out. And what God is saying there, he's saying those who are constantly flushing the bad stuff out of their heart, those are the ones that's going to see me. Let me just test you. Have you done like me this week? I don't know how many times I prayed, God, my heart is not always right. God, my heart. I was walking on the beach today, this week, praying and saying, God, my heart, I know my outward deeds are fine, but God, you see my heart, it's not always right. God, you've got to change my heart. When we worship God, you don't know what worship, one thing worship does, it flushes your heart. It flushes your heart, and God says, those who continually flush their heart will see me, and they'll constantly see me. I can trust those. See, when you read a story about Joseph getting this big blessing among all of his brothers, God could not have given that blessing to the other boys because the other boys didn't have the same heart that Joseph had. And later on in life, God needed somebody with a big heart that would give grace to his people. And he knew Joseph's the only boy with that heart.
Yes, amen.
So don't always measure other people. You see this very good-looking dude or good-looking lady. You see these beautiful ladies with a bozo guy, you know. It's his heart, sweetheart. It's probably his heart. It's not his looks. It's his heart. She sees his heart. Bless his heart. Why is it? Why is it these good-looking women are always with these ugly guys? Whatever. It's their heart. Say with me, it's their heart. Yeah, they see their heart. They see the way God sees. They see their heart. What I'm saying in context today, that if you can take those past problems, those past catastrophes, those past bad things in your life, and if they've enlarged your heart in any way, then praise Jesus. There's nothing more powerful than sitting down with someone who's been through the same thing you're going through, and with tears in their eyes, they go, I've been through it. Let me tell you what I did. And then they hug you, crying with you. There's nothing more powerful than someone hugging you who's crying with you because they know, they feel what you're going through and they know what you're going through. So redeem those things. And then number three, I got to end this real quick. Learn how to process your future mistakes. Gang, you're not through making mistakes yet, but if you take a teaching like this today, then when the mistakes happen, you're going to be really wise. Look at Psalms 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart. That means ahead of time, so that I might not fail, sin against you in the future. Next one. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. Next one. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who cherishes understanding, he'll prosper down the road. Let me just give you four things. I'm just going to read them here, and then we're going home. You need to learn to process future mistakes. Number one. Put time and space between trials and making decisions. Because you're not through making mistakes, you must learn this ahead of time. That when a catastrophe hits and a spouse says, I've been unfaithful to you, or someone dies on you, or whatever, you have to learn that after those events, there's no time for making big decisions for a while. That's where we married on the rebounds, right? A fighter loses a fight. I quit. I retire tonight. No, sleep on it a few days, okay? You get people get written up by a boss and they quit. They hear about the affair and they file divorce the next day. Wise people realize that God has an opinion. He has things to say to us about what we're going through, but we're not in a place to hear those for a while. We won't hear right now. Our heart is closed. The shock of what's just happened to us is there. So wise people learn, let's give it some space so we can hear God. Romans 8:20, my God will cause all things to work, but it takes time. Wise people realize that. And then number two, schedule grieving time. I've already talked about that. Schedule it. And then number three, always remember God doesn't cause your problems, but he uses them. Stop blaming God. Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he looked up to the Father and said, Father, can this cup pass away? Do I have to go through this, Lord? Can this cup pass away from me? Do I have to go through what I have to go through to be who you want me to be and to be where you want me to be? He says, God, I don't know if I want to go through it. Is there another way? You know, people today don't understand that God doesn't cause their problems, but he'll use them. We want the anointing, but we don't want to pay the price of what you have to pay to be anointed. We want to be blessed, but we don't want to go through the stuff that makes us blessed. We want to be used. We don't want to go through the stuff in order to be used. We want to know the healer, but we don't want to be sick so we can know the healer. And the fourth, surround yourself with a good support team. It doesn't matter where you've been. It matters where you're going. And I don't care what kind of accolades you have in the past. That's the past. You can have all the God stories you want in the past, but where are you at today? Is the anointing still with you today? I'm writing a book in God's stories. I want to remember those. And this scripture passage at all doesn't say at all that we can't remember those things. It means don't let those things come into a place in our life of priority where they impede our progress. That's what it means. I'm going to show you a little video and I'm going to close. One of my favorite movies of all time. Here it is, clip right here.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Watch this.
What the heck are you doing?
That's what I'm talking about.
There you go.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over them mountains? Yeah. Coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions, no doubt. No doubt in my mind. You better believe things would have been different. I'd have gone pro. In a heartbeat. I'd be making millions of dollars and living in a big old mansion somewhere. You know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
He's living in the past. Living in the past. Father God, Lord, I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but I know that when Pastor Doug put these sermons together, this is the title he gave this one. And I felt like you were using that. Lord, maybe this message isn't for all of us here today, but it might be in the future because we're still not through making mistakes. But Lord, when we make them, we have to learn from them, spit on the ground, and keep on going. We can't let the past sabotage our future. So I thank you today, Lord, and I pray that everybody within the earshot of my words, that everybody can hear my words, Lord, that they would hear this last thing that I'm going to say today, and that is, if you're not right with God, just get alone somewhere and say, God, make me right with you. Send the Holy Spirit, come live in my body, and give me the power I need to start following Jesus, and you'll do that. But Lord, most of all, I want to end with this exclamation mark again today, and that is, we must not let the pain of the past poison our future any longer. We must come to a time and place where we choose to forget and let go what happened to us in the past. Give us that power and that grace. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. God.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King. Give us our